It was truly a bittersweet feeling. It was a bittersweet feeling. The Grizzlies got the win on Friday. Jaren Jackson Jr. played like a monster, but all of that was overshadowed by the injury of a limping Ja Morant going off the floor. We have the update on Ja. We have the update on Jaren Jackson Jr. and more ahead of this Grizzlies matchup against the Brooklyn Nets coming up right here, right now on Locked On Grizzly.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. Let's call it the bonus edition. We're here on a Sunday, on a lovely Sunday. So thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies as well. And make sure, you know, you continue to listen to us everywhere you like to get your podcast. That's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen or watch, possibly even YouTube. Locked On Grizzlies is there coming to you with a special Sunday edition because the news cycle has been rampant with this Grizzlies team lately, and we just got to keep you in tune to what's going on and just the latest on what we're hearing as well. But first and foremost, there's no reason to bury the lead, as you know, my journalism people will say here, and the lead is Ja Morant. The Grizzlies, great performance on Friday against the Thunder. Jaren Jackson Jr., 25 points, 12 rebounds. Thought that was just a huge game for him. Ja Morant, a double-double. John Conchar, a double-double. You know, and we talked about his aggressiveness and things like that. So, overall, a great performance from the Grizzlies. Took control against the Thunder. Thunder tried to fight back a couple times. And then, more than anything, held Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to a season low, you know, in scoring. Credit to Dylan Brooks there. So, a lot of that is the good. The bad came with 3:09 left in the fourth quarter. Ja Morant, and I'm sitting literally right there in front of him as he's trying to limp off the court. His leg is kind of straightened out. He's trying to limp off the floor, and he couldn't make it off. He couldn't make it all the way to the bench. He kind of he fell down near the half court line, and you know, the worry started to become rampant around Grizzlies Nation. But you know, as we learned the following day after, you know, Taylor Jenkins said that the Grizzlies were going to do some imaging and some MRI stuff and figure out what was wrong with his ankle, the Grizzlies kind of dodged the bullet. Ja Morant will be evaluated week to week, but he is currently out right now due to a left ankle sprain, a grade one left ankle sprain, that is. So grade one, you know, you talk about grade one, grade two, grade three. Grade one is the least severe of those three. So the Grizzlies dodged the bullet, you know, from that perspective. And one being that Ja Morant shouldn't be out really long. If I was a guessing man, I would assume he's going to, you know, not only is he going to miss this game against the Brooklyn Nets, but you play the Kings on Tuesday at home and the Pelicans on Friday after Thanksgiving at home. I would expect him to possibly miss both of those games. And then, you know, Sunday against the Knicks on the road, maybe even that one, because the Grizzlies, after that Sunday game against the Knicks, you have that Monday and Tuesday off before a away game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So all things considered, you know, three games against teams that are decent teams, but a manageable stretch without Morant himself, I would say. But, you know, after the game, Morant was in good spirits, is what people told me, you know, around him, that he was in good spirits. I believe he did leave, you know, the arena in a boot, but sometimes, you know, those things can be precautionary, of course, when you have those ankle sprains. I've had an ankle sprain playing basketball before. And, you know, one of the first things they're going to do is put you in a boot. So all things considered, the Grizzlies kind of dodged, you know, a grade two ankle sprain that probably sidelines him for at least 2 to 3 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks or those type of injuries. So that was the most important thing here. He's going to miss a little time, but it's not as bad as it could have been. But the injury news with the Grizzlies, it goes further than Ja Morant, and that's kind of the thing here. If you saw the injury report that the Grizzlies listed on yesterday for today's game against the Nets, you probably noticed that not only is Ja Morant out, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out due to right foot injury management. And, you know, some people, I think, were surprised by this, but this is something, if you've been tuned into Locked On Grizzlies, we've kind of hinted and talked about how one thing, you know, that's going to happen with Jaren Jackson Jr. right now is the Grizzlies are going to be extremely careful with him during this process. It's a day-to-day thing. I talked about after his first game, he got extra treatment, you know, after the game. And it's just little things like that. They're very just careful with this process of him returning because this isn't a normal injury. When you suffer those foot fractures, as Jaren Jackson Jr. did, with those type injuries, they come from usage more times than not. This is an injury that usually results from guys playing a lot. And if you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., he played 78 regular season games last season and 12 playoff games, 90 games total. And he played a lot, you know. So that usage, a career high in games, you know, may have impacted, you know, that injury. But it's the fact of when you return from something like that, a injury that usually occurs after, you know, you're playing heavy minutes and in high usage situations and things like that. The Grizzlies have the right to be careful. And if you look at the first two games that Jaren Jackson Jr. played in, the first game against the Pelicans, right? Steven Adams gets in foul trouble. Santi Aldama gets in foul trouble. So, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. plays 25 minutes in that game. Then you look at this last game. He's balling. He's balling. 25 minutes again. Again, you're starting to see a clue. 25 minutes in the game against the Thunder as well. I think that's sort of the numbers that the Grizzlies have him at right now. That 25-minute, you know, stretch is where the Grizzlies have him at. I believe, you know, after the game, Jaren Jackson Jr. was asked, you know, about, you know, sort of a minutes restrictions and things like that. And he didn't give in, you know, any clues on, you know, possible restrictions or things like that. But let's be honest here. The Grizzlies do have him, you know, on sort of their monitoring, you know, his usage. Even someone told me who was near the bench during the game that, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. was asking the training staff, you know, like, how much longer? How much longer? You know, in terms of minutes, does he have that he can play late in that fourth quarter? So he's on some sort of restriction for sure here, and it looks like it's 25 minutes. But overall, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 7 of 6 shooting from the field, 3 of 6 on three-pointers, 8 of 11 from the free throw line, which I think, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., that's one of his biggest strengths when he realizes it, the ability to be 6'11 and put the ball, you know, on the floor can really give you the ability to create a lot of, you know, free throws. And he had, you know, 8 of 11 from the free throw line, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Terrific game from Jaren Jackson Jr., just all around great performance. And that's what the Grizzlies are going to need from him while Jaren Jackson Jr., I mean, while Ja Morant is out, and also while Desmond Bane is out as well. I have a story that'll come out on the Commercial Appeal on tomorrow, so make sure you go check that out about Desmond Bane and, you know, his situation. I talked to a doctor who kind of gave me some more intel on what this situation is like for Desmond Bane. You're going to want to go check that out at commercialappeal.com on tomorrow. It's an update on, you know, just Desmond Bane and the right big toe sprain, right? We don't hear a lot of big toe sprains, but I was able to get some clarity on that situation and just possibly what the return to play looks like for Desmond Bane. Because if you remember, the Grizzlies said 2 to 3 weeks he'll be reevaluated. Not 2 to 3 weeks he should be expected to return. So I think he'll be able to return in that time frame, but we'll get more into that, you know, in that story, and we'll talk more on Locked On Grizzlies on tomorrow as well. We appreciate you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies, and along with the Desmond Bane updates, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, Zaire Williams, all these guys are out. Who's going to step up? who is going to be the guys that step up? We're going to talk about that. But before we get to that, I got to talk to you about Turo. See, because Turo, at the end of the day, this is the place where if you need a car and you was like, hey, my car is not working right now, or I'm about to go on a trip and I need a car that's going to be, you know, a nice car that's going to get me from point A to point B, and it's within a nice, affordable budget, you got to go over to Turo. So you think about places like, I think of Turo as like Airbnb, you know, Airbnb for homes. Turo is that for cars. See, with Turo, you can book any car you want and you can get it wherever you want. And you don't have to worry about, you know, boring rental cars. All you have to go to is Turo.com, because Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace in the world right now. But Turo, again, you get any car you want and you get a huge selection of vehicles. All you have to do is just go browse it. Put in what car you want. You can get an SUV. You can get a minivan if you're going on a family road trip. Oh, what about a pickup truck? You're trying to get some business done? You're trying to do some moving? All of that is on Turo. And then, more important than anything, every trip is backed by liability insurance. So the terms and conditions and exclusions apply. But again, Turo is the world's largest car market sharing place out there right now. All you have to do is go to Turo.com, find affordable economy cars. You can go get pickup trucks. You can go get minivans, SUVs, wherever you want, all available at Turo.com. And hey, if you're in your Turo rental car and your stomach's growling a little bit, you know what you can do? You can go head over to BuiltBar.com. See, Built Bar, I've talked about it for the longest. Look, the thing about Built Bar is I love Built Bar because I love the cookie dough topper, the coconut brownie bar, the coconut brownie topper. These are the new reimagined flavors. You know, we've talked about the coconut, the white almond, all of the chocolate options that Built Bar has. And don't forget, it's 100% real chocolate as well. The cookie dough topper, the coconut brownie bar, and the coconut brownie topper. Three new reimagined flavors at Built Bar. And oh my God, you are going to love them, but you got to go check them out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Go check them out for yourself, because Built Bar, the best part about it is Built Bar is just revolutionizing nutrition as we know it. I'm talking about 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly, it's low sugar and low calories in these Built Bars. Only 130 calories to go run off at the gym after you get your Built Bar. So all you have to do is head over right now to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15 and you can head over to Built.com and you'll get 15% off of your next Built Bar order. And we're talking about the Grizzlies just being down bodies right now, right? Ja Morant, Zaire Williams, Desmond Bane, Danny Green. All these guys are in the backcourt. Ja Morant and Dez are your starters. Danny Green, you know, is a guy that could factor into the rotation when healthy. Zaire Williams is a guy who certainly will be in the rotation when healthy. And we talked even at Media Day about him being this 6'8", 6'9" shooting guard, you know, for the Grizzlies this season, but we haven't been able to see that. And the Grizzlies like this whole next man up moniker, right? As a matter of fact, I won't even just put that on the Grizzlies. A lot of teams have this thing where when guys get hurt, they say, hey, next man up, next man up, next man up. And with the Grizzlies, you know, you start to believe it. Kind of it's that simple with them. When you see Tyus Jones step into the starting lineup last season and go 19-4 as a start, or you see the Grizzlies start De'Anthony Melton at point guard, John Conchard shooting guard, and beat the number one seeded Phoenix Suns last season with backups in the game. So you start to, hey, you know what? Maybe this next man up thing with the Grizzlies has some legitimacy to it. You know, it's just more within the system. But my thought is, next man up only goes so far. And a lot of those games when John Morant was out last season, Desmond Bane was picking up the load, and he played his part, and he was thriving. In games where Jaren Jackson Jr. has been out, the Grizzlies have had Desmond Bane and John Morant each averaging over 24 points per game to kind of just, you know, carry them through that stretch. But now you're talking about no Ja and no Dez at the same time, plus no Zaire Williams, who would certainly be an option to step into that starting lineup without, you know, Desmond Bane playing. You just, you move Dylan Brooks over to his former, you know, shooting guard position, and Zaire Williams gets to start at small forward. Well, guess what? No Zaire Williams. So who steps up? We're running through a list of names here of the guys that I'm sure you expect to get the bulk of the minutes and you expect to perform, you know, to kind of keep this train rolling while the Grizzlies are going through this. And the first guy, of course, is Tyus Jones. The thing with Tyus Jones is here's the challenge. The Grizzlies made Tyus Jones the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA. And Tyus Jones, to my accounts, he has played well this season. It's a different looking style of play from Tyus Jones. A lot of you are used to seeing him be a little bit more passive and, you know, limit his turnovers just a little bit more and things like that. But with the situation right now, Tyus Jones is playing a lot of minutes on the court with Ja Morant, a lot of minutes on the court with Desmond Bane, and a lot of minutes on the court with the bench as the guy who has to create. The bench with the Grizzlies this season, they don't have the necessary shot creators, you know, they don't have that Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson type shot creator coming off the bench. Tyus Jones has to create a lot of opportunities, and he's doing that so far this season in a different way. So all things considered, Tyus Jones is the guy. Hey, the Grizzlies made him the highest paid point guard in NBA, and it's for these situations right here. No Ja Morant. He's going to be tasked with carrying the fort and really just holding things down during this stretch. John Conchar. Again, we talk about it. Joe, my partner, Joe Mullinax, he really rails on it more than me about aggressiveness. That's the word with John Conchar, right? Well, we talked about how John Conchar 2 games ago, 3 of 5 from the field, only 3 three-point attempts in 36 minutes and 31 seconds. This was after he talked about, hey, I got to be more aggressive with Desmond Bane being out. So that was kind of a, you know, he has to be more aggressive and he only takes 5 shots in the next game. Well, John Conchar came out against the Oklahoma City Thunder, shot 7 of 10 from the field, 5 of 7 on three-pointers, had more three-point attempts in the first half than he did in the total game against the New Orleans Pelicans. Not only that, he also did some John Conchar things. 10 rebounds as well. So John Conchar finished that game 19 points, 10 rebounds. He was plus 17 in that game in 29 minutes. And boom, there it is. That's what you need from John Conchar. Knock down some three-pointers, shoot some three-pointers, rebound the basketball like, you know, the elite rebounding guard that he is. That's an underrated part of Ja Morant being out. There are going to be certain games where guys are bringing Steven Adams away from the basket. Think back to the Jazz, games against the Jazz, or the playoff series against the Timberwolves. So against teams like that, Steven Adams and his rebound totals won't be as high because those teams are bringing him away from the basket. And what becomes crucial in those games is you need the Grizzlies guards to rebound well. Well, you know what Ja Morant has done exceptionally well this season and really in his career is he can rebound the heck out of the ball for a guard. Ja Morant's averaging over 6 boards a game. And, I mean, even Desmond Bane was averaging close to 5 rebounds a game. And that's an underrated part of that backcourt. The Grizzlies have one of the best rebounding backcourts in the game. So now with John Conchar stepping into the starting role, you still get some of that. So that's what you really appreciate about what he brings to the game. 19 points, 10 rebounds in his last game. We saw a game against the Timberwolves where I think he had 17 rebounds last season. John Conchar can rebound the basketball, and they're going to rely on him to really be able to do that, you know, in these certain situations throughout the course of the season. Thank you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies on today. And now, you know, we appreciate you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies, but you got to go check out Locked on NBA Locked On Sports as well. You always got to make that your second listen right after you tune in to Locked On Grizzlies each and every time. See, look, Locked On Sports Today, from the games that matter to the most, to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local in sports and the sites that only Locked On can provide. Again, that's Locked On Sports Today. It's available on this app. You go check it out on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. Wherever you listen to Locked On Grizzlies, Locked On Sports is going to be in that same exact place. So a couple of the other players that we're thinking about here, Jake LaRavia, Dylan Brooks, Kennedy Chandler. We're going to talk more about Dylan Brooks in the next segment as we get ready to break down this matchup against the Nets. A completely different looking matchup between the Grizzlies and Nets this time around. But before we talk about the Nets and the Grizzlies, we got to talk about our friends over at Bet Online. See, the thing about Bet Online is it's the premier, the number one source for betting sports info, news, and analysis with all things Grizzlies and all things sports everywhere. Because look, think about Bet Online is it's not just NBA, it's not just basketball. Bet Online has you covered with football. Hello, it's NFL Sunday. Bet Online has you covered with soccer, esports, college sports as well. You know, you can go ahead over to Bet Online if you want to check out what's going on, you know, in the NBA. What's going on in the NFL? What's going on with the Grizzlies? The Grizzlies right now, you go over to Bet Online, they are underdogs against the Brooklyn Nets on today. But Bet Online is your number one source for betting. Head over to the site, that's betonline.net, and go take advantage of the great opportunities, because Bet Online is where the game starts. Well, where the game starts on today is it'll start at the Barclays Center between the Grizzlies and the Nets. And this is this is one of those games where I say throw the previous stuff out of the window, because this is going to be completely different. And it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies prepare for this Nets team. And it'll be interesting to see how the Nets prepare for this Grizzlies team. We've already talked about why this will be a challenge for the Nets. Starting backcourt, it's going to, likely for the Grizzlies, going to be Tyus Jones and John Conchar. You're going to have Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup as well. And then you're going to have Santi Aldama, and you're going to have Steven Adams. Newsflash. It's going to be the first time that this lineup has started a game for the Grizzlies. If that's the lineup that the Grizzlies go with, it's going to be the first time we've ever seen that lineup. So what is it going to look like? The Nets have no clue. You could assume, hey, Dylan Brooks is going to be the primary scoring option. You can assume, oh, Tyus Jones, you know, is going to try to get downhill, get to that floater, but you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how these guys are going to play off of each other. So that's going to be the challenge from the Nets. And the challenge from the Grizzlies is the Nets are going to look pretty different. Not in terms of personnel too much. They will be without Nick Claxton, which we'll talk about more in a couple minutes here. But Jock Vaughn has replaced Steve Nash as the Nets head coach. Steve Nash and the Nets parted ways not too long after the first meeting between the Grizzlies and the Nets. So, you know, Steve Nash, I thought, you know, one of the downsides to the Nets during his tenure was that the defensive, you know, issues that the team had. And those issues had, they were there at the beginning of this season. Since Jock Vaughn has taken over, the Nets defense has kind of made some turnarounds. It's been a better unit. He's using, you know, different schemes. And I just want to point that out. You know, we saw Desmond Bane and Ja Morant each go for 38 points apiece. You know, we saw last season in the All ESPN All Access game in March, where Tyus Jones started that game, by the way. But Desmond Bane started that game as well. And the Grizzlies just obliterated the Nets just with a great offensive performance. But outside of, you know, you had the Kings absolute score 153 points a couple days ago on Tuesday against the Nets. But if you throw that game out the window, this defense has really made some turnarounds. Going back a couple games against where they held the Hornets under 100 points on November 5th. They held the Mavs under 100 points on November 7th. They held the Knicks under 100 points on November 9th. Then they had the Clippers under 100 points on November 12th. Four consecutive games holding opponents to under 100 points, all in the Jock Vaughn era. And then they played the Lakers, gave up 116, gave up 153 to the Kings. And then held the Blazers, which has been, you know, one of the better offenses in the league so far, held the Blazers to 107 points on Thursday ahead of this Grizzlies matchup. So this defense has kind of been resurgent more of late. That's something to monitor on the Nets side of things. But the Grizzlies, not to be denied, on their own, we've seen the Grizzlies play really solid basketball with Tyus Jones starting point guard in the past. This season without Morant, 0-2 in games that Tyus Jones has started. So there is going to be still some adjustments there as well. But some things that I'm monitoring this game are, one, the Nets will be without Nick Claxton. Nick Claxton isn't the biggest name in the world when you think about the Nets, but he averages over 8 boards. He averages 1.8 blocks. The Nets lead the NBA in blocks, not just because of Nick Claxton, but you have Kevin Durant as well, you know, as a big part of that. But Nick Claxton at the rim, he challenges shots. He's a very athletic big man. And without him at the rim, you a guy like Dylan Brooks likes to get downhill. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, if the Grizzlies can kind of, you know, emphasize, you know, the paint scoring, you know, like they like to do. And they can really, you know, execute in that area without Nick Claxton. And another area where the Nets will miss Nick Claxton is rebound. They already aren't a great rebounding team. I believe this is actually arguably the best Grizzlies advantage going into this game. Steven Adams leads the Grizzlies in rebounding. And not only that, the Grizzlies are second in the NBA in rebounding. The Nets are 26th, and they're going to be missing one of their best rebounders in Claxton, who averages over 8 rebounds per game. Even if Memphis, without Desmond Bane, without Ja Morant, without Zaire Williams, they're probably going to miss a lot of shots, right? And an improved Nets defense. But Steven Adams, he has this, you know, this funny thing he always likes to say when we talk about his offensive rebounds. And he always says, like, hey, if I'm getting a lot of offensive rebounds, that means we're missing a lot of shots. That was kind of his mood when, you know, he broke the offensive rebounding record for the Grizzlies last season. He was like, all it says is we're missing a lot of shots. Well, guess what? The Grizzlies are down their top scoring options. They're down Jaren Jackson Jr. in this game. No Ja Morant, no Desmond Bane. They're probably going to miss a lot of shots. It really helps to have Steven Adams on the inside. And quite frankly, this is a game that Steven Adams should dominate. And even if the Grizzlies miss some shots, they should be afforded a lot of second chance opportunities. I'm talking about one of those type of games where the Grizzlies can shoot 42-43% and the opponent can shoot 47-48% and the Grizzlies could still come away with a win just because they got more shot attempts. But for that to work out, you need someone like Steven Adams to dominate on the boards. You need Santi Aldama to be active, John Conchar to continue to crash down. That's the big advantage that the Grizzlies have against the Nets. It's rebounding, and we'll see how that plays out. We talked about the coaching change, right? The Nets defense is going to look a little bit different. The Nets also get Kyrie Irving back in his game. Reports have indicated that Kyrie Irving will return for the Brooklyn Nets. He has missed, you know, the last 8 games for them as well. So we'll see how that impacts, you know, the defense and all of those things. But we do know that he's one of the better point guards in the NBA. He's a great shot creator. And Dylan Brooks, you know, I'm sure he's going to guard Kevin Durant for a large part of the game. So who gets the Tyus Jones assignment? I mean, who gets the Kyrie Irving assignment, because I think it'll be John Conchar. I said Tyus Jones because it could be Tyus Jones could be the one who guards, you know, Kyrie Irving as well. But we'll see, you know, how that plays out too. And another large point on the Grizzlies side from just this game, but even big picture as well. This is a huge stretch for Dylan Brooks. This is a big stretch for Dylan Brooks. There's no other way to put it. The thing about it is we've talked about the contract extensions. John Conchar got a contract extension. Tyus Jones was re-signed and paid as the highest backup point guard in the game. Brandon Clark got a contract extension. Ja Morant got a contract extension. All the guys kind of who've been extension eligible have been taken care of pretty much, with the exclusion of, you know, Dylan Brooks. And you wonder, you say, what's the case, you know, there? Now, Dylan Brooks has been extended, you know, by this front office before. So we've seen that kind of, you know, a few seasons back. He got extended. He got well taken care of. So it's not like he's not been extended before, but he will be a free agent at the end of the season. And he hadn't been extended yet. So all things that all points to this stretch right here for Dylan Brooks, from a personal standpoint, this is where he proves his worth. There's no John Morant. There's no Desmond Bain. Dylan Brooks, whether you like it or not, you cannot argue with the fact that he is a guy who can create his shot. The results from that situation, they vary. But we have seen games where Dylan Brooks can get to the mid-range shot and he can go to that fadeaway and that turnaround and he can get hot. We see it a lot of times he misses those shots as well. But the thing about it is he gets to his spots. He gets to the spots that he likes to shoot. And the Grizzlies are going to need that. They're going to need him to score because late in games, when it's crunch times and teams are going to get more reliant on defensive switches, you're not going to be able to run your offense as efficiently, because the thing about switches is they take you out of those offenses because teams aren't trying to recover or chase behind guys as much in those situations. They're just pointing and say, hey, you switch onto him. Hey, you switch onto him. Now, granted, you get more mismatches offensively in those situations, but that's why you need a guy like Dylan Brooks to take advantage of those mismatches. This is a huge stretch for Dylan Brooks. I'm looking forward to talking about just how he handles this, how he, you know, progresses throughout, you know, just this upcoming time frame, because this is a time they're going to need Dylan Brooks to really take advantage of, you know, this increased opportunity, the bigger role that the Grizzlies are going to need from, not only against the Nets, but against the Kings and possibly even in bigger doses without without Ja Morant and without Desmond Bane playing. On the next episode of Locked On Grizzlies, we're gonna recap this game, and then we're gonna talk about some other things going forward as well. But before we get to that, thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen. For your next listen, I want you to check out on the Locked On Sports Today podcast. And remember, with the Locked On Sports Today podcast, you get the biggest stories of the day, and then you get the instant reactions, the big game recaps, and those big juicy takes of the day. And remember, all you got to do, you can check it out on the Odyssey app, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you tune in to Locked On Grizzlies, you can check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast as well. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Once again, we appreciate you for tuning in on this bonus edition on this Sunday. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, make sure you can continue to like, comment, and subscribe. Leave comments, leave reviews. We listen. We are looking at them. You have questions, you can ask them as well, and we're going to get those answered in these episodes going forward, as the Grizzlies have a lot of moving pieces right now. A lot of injury updates are about to transpire. More moving parts on Zaire Williams as he gets closer. Desmond Bain, Ja Morant. A lot of moving parts with the Grizzlies. We want to have you covered better than anyone out there right here on Locked On Grizzlies. So we appreciate you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. And I'll see you next time. Once again, I am your host, DeMichael Cole. See you next time on Locked On Grizzlies.